Thank you for the introduction. Good morning, everyone. Many have probably heard at some point this week, residual herbicides are currently and will continue to be the backbone of any successful weed control program in cotton. And sometimes, at times, growers kind of are hesitant to apply a residual herbicide because they're scared of the injury that it might cause. And this injury comes in the form of a lack of emergence, complete plant death, or severe necrosis and chlorosis. So what we need to do to make these residual herbicides effective is to figure out what causes this injury and what type of agronomic or environmental factors increase the injury we see with residual herbicides. And that's what I'll be speaking with you about this morning, the results of studies that we conducted this past summer looking at the factors contributing to cotton injury from soil-applied herbicides. We'll start out by taking a brief look at the history of weed control in cotton. I'm sure most of you have heard this no less than a million times in your life, but just bear with me if you will. Prior to the introduction of glyphosate-resistant crop technology, cotton weed control was dominated by soil residual herbicides, with glyphosate being used primarily in burn-down programs. However, when glyphosate-resistant crop cotton was introduced in 1997, we saw a significant increase in the amount of glyphosate being applied. And in 2000, the amount of glyphosate being applied increased even more because the patent expired on the active ingredient and the price was reduced by 40%. Present-day weed control, as again many of you have probably heard this week, is driven by herbicide resistance, especially in pigweed. In 2006, glyphosate-resistant Palmer amaranth was confirmed in Arkansas by Norsworthy and others. Currently, in Arkansas, according to a survey by Norsworthy in 2012, we're looking at 87% of our cotton acres infested with glyphosate-resistant Palmer amaranth. And the picture you see on the screen is not that uncommon of a scene in Arkansas. Due to this fact, herbicide resistance has prompted a return to some of the conventional weed control measures, such as hand weeding or chopping, cultivating the middles, and residual herbicides. Residual herbicides are a must for season-long weed control in cotton, as cotton can require up to 8 weeks of weed-free maintenance to obtain maximum yield. This is true regardless of the system that you're using, and is especially crucial in glyphosate production systems. The benefits of residual herbicides are twofold. They incorporate an additional mode of action into your weed control program, which will delay the evolution of further resistance as well as prevent the spread, and it reduces the weed population size by reducing the soil seed bank. However, as I previously mentioned, there are some issues with residual herbicides. As Culpepper reported in 2012, we do see sporadic injury with residual herbicides. Fomesifen and diuron were reported to cause increased injury in low vigor seed. Also, we saw increased injury when seeds were planted shallow, and cotton injury was also increased by cool, wet conditions, which is often the case when we plant cotton, especially in the state of Arkansas. Our soils are often we often have wet and cool conditions in the early spring. And Dr. Stevenson and others reported in 2004 that fomesifen caused visible injury to cotton when applied pre. Dr. Larry Steckel reported in 2012 that residual herbicides were a double-edged sword, because there are so many things that can go wrong, especially when it comes to activation. You either get too little rainfall and you get no activation, so you've basically applied a herbicide for nothing, or you can get too much rainfall and it induces increased crop injury. Or, in a good scenario, you have adequate rainfall and you achieve maximum control while minimizing crop injury. Irrigation is a huge plus. But for us in Arkansas, a lot of our cotton acreage is watered down the middles, and most of the time you're not looking at laying polypipe in April, although it has been done, but most growers are not wanting to lay out polypipe in April. Well, the objective of our study was to determine if seed size is cotton seed size is related to the amount of injury observed on cotton following the use of a pre-applied residual herbicide, and also to determine if planting depth and seed vigor affect injury from pre-applied residual herbicides. I'll be discussing with you two studies that we conducted this past growing season. I'll start out with the materials and methods for objective one. The study was conducted in Fayetteville, Arkansas on silica-silt loam soil. The experimental design was a randomized complete block with a 5x3 factorial arrangement of treatments. We were looking at five different seed sizes, and you can read the seed sizes were judged on grams per 100 seed weight, and you can see the five seed weights here. And the treatments were, we had an untreated check and diuron applied at 1 and 2 pounds per acre. All plots were planted at the exact same depth and the equal planting densities. As I mentioned, the applications were applied pre at 15 gallons per acre. The data collected, we took visual injury assessments, collected biomass, and this test was placed under sprinkler irrigation. For objective two, it was conducted at the Rower, Arkansas in 2012. The experiment was conducted as a split plot, the main plots being planting depth at 1/4 inch and 1 inch. Subplot was the herbicide treatments. We have diuron applied at 1 and 2 pounds AI per acre, fomespin at 1/4 pound and 1/2 pound per acre, and flumetron at 1 pound and 2 pounds AI per acre. And the subplot was a seedling vigor and low and high. And the way this was done, the high vigor would be just like any cotton seed that you go and buy at the store. The low vigor was soaked in a hot water bath at a certain temperature for a certain period of time in order to reduce the vigor of the seed. Again, the applications were made immediately after planting at 15 gallons per acre. And for the data collection, again, visual injury assessments, stand counts per 2 meter, cotton stand counts per 2 meter of row, cotton biomass per 2 meter of row, and biomass per plant. Moving into the results for the first objective, the first set up the slide for you. Here on the y-axis, we have percent injury on a scale of 0 to 50. On the x-axis, we have a 1 and 2x rate of diuron and the five seed sizes that I previously mentioned. Here, what I want to point out is you would expect anytime you go from a 1x to a 2x rate, you expect to see increased injury. But here, if you'll take a look at the bars that I have circled, at the difference here with the seed size 1, which would be the smallest seed, we're seeing 40% injury. However, with seed size 5, we're down around probably 5% injury or less. Here, I just have a picture showing the difference between the untreated, which we have here on the left, and the treated plot, which you see here on the right. And as you can see, our untreated check has a good, healthy stand. There aren't any skips or in the stand. However, in our treated plots, you can see there are several sizable skips in our planting row. Here, as I previously mentioned on the bar graph, here we have seed size 1, which would be our smallest seed. And as you can see, there are several places here where we failed to achieve a stand at all. However, with our largest seed size, we have a good healthy stand of cotton. For the results, the objective two, we have cotton injury at 6 weeks after treatment. Again, on the y-axis, we have percent injury from 0 to 50. On our x-axis, we have low and high seed vigor, and then our three herbicide treatments, flumetron, diuron, and fomespin. Sorry about that. What I want to point out here is all injury was increased with all three herbicide treatments at the low vigor. But if you'll take a look here at diuron and fomespin, we see a very high numerical and statistical difference between the low vigor and the high vigor seed. But even our high vigor with fomespin and diuron are resulting in 35 and 25% injury, which is, for most growers, that's not going to be acceptable. Now, if we take a look here, we have, again, injury at 6 weeks after treatment. On this slide, we're looking at the effect of planting depth. If you take a look at flumeturon, which caused the least amount of injury, there was no difference between the shallow and the deep planting depth. However, if we take a look at diuron at a quarter of an inch, we see a significantly higher amount of injury when we add a shallower planting depth. However, if we take a look at fumethophen, when we planted it deeper, we actually saw around 45% injury, whereas when we planted it only at a quarter of an inch, we saw 30% injury. So in summary, vigor and seed size directly related to early cotton injury. Planting depth affects cotton injury from diuron, both diuron and fumethophen. And residual herbicides will continue to be the key to successful weed control in all herbicide systems and any technology. However, it is crucial that we continue to explore these agronomic and environmental and genetic factors of cotton to understand what causes this injury and what conditions are conducive to injury. And with that, which I've already mentioned, we need to continue to explore what these factors that influence cotton injury are. And with that, I'll be glad to take any questions you may have.
Any questions?
Whoever wants to go first. Dr. Reynolds.
When you imposed your low vigor treatment, did that affect the germination of your seeds?
No. The question was, when we decreased the vigor of the seed, did it affect the germination of the seed? We didn't see any difference in the germination of the seed in the untreated check versus what, you know, the untreated check emerged fine. So it didn't significantly affect it. Dr. Smith?
I guess just to ask, what's your explanation for the shallow planting being higher germ than the fumethophen plots? I would have thought that you got more herbicide on that plant or on that seed in the shallow plant than the deep plant.
So the question is, why do I think we saw more injury at the deeper planting depth with fumethophen, whereas with diuron it was the exact opposite? The injury was higher with fumethophen when we planted it 1 inch deep versus a quarter.
Yeah. I guess I would have thought that fumethophen would have gotten in contact with the seed more at the quarter.
When we planted this, the seed, a quarter of an inch, the seed went ahead and come on, up out of the ground. And then when we planted an inch, if you get rainfall with fumethophen, as soon as that seed pops the ground, it creates that splashing effect. And that would be my explanation as to why we would see more injury at 1 inch than we did at a quarter.
What was your plant size when you planted it? Was it rain fed or was it irrigated?
Sprinkler irrigation. At our Fayetteville location, it was watered immediately after planting to activate the herbicides, and it was between a half and three quarters of an inch of our irrigation.
Thank you very much.